that you have your way here this day, that lives be saved, transformed, to be able to point the way towards you, so that this world would be able to recognize that you are the one that did it. That you're the one that did it, Lord. Have your way this day, Holy Spirit. In your precious name we pray, and we all say in one accord, amen. With no clapping, you may have your seats here this day. Worship team, good job. You may have your seats. I would ask that everybody stay focused here this morning as the word is going forth, and that we can fellowship after the service all you want. Amen. We welcome you here this day. Amen. I'm excited here this day. I know the Lord is here. Amen. Via Facebook, we welcome you here this day. And we would ask that the movement would stop in your house also. Amen. That you would be able to focus throughout the whole message. Amen. And not getting up and down, going to the bathroom, and but being focused. Amen. Here this day. We started a new series, A Time to Recognize Jesus, in a time where the enemy is being recognized all around the world. So when you flip the script on that one, it's Jesus would be getting recognized all over the world because he deserves that type of glory and honor. Amen. He deserves that honor, not the enemy. And what belongs to the Lord is being given to the enemy right now. It is the enemy that's being recognized all around the world right now. When that title, when that is belongs to the Lord. It belongs to the Lord. Amen. I see a lot of new faces. We welcome you. Amen. And I pray by the end of this service that you be a blessed man and woman with a vision walking out the church. Amen. That God has spoken to you clearly and given you direction of what is to be done in your life today. Not mañana, but today. Amen. Let's get into the word of the Lord here this morning. I know the Lord has given me a word. I'm excited about it. It's going to be simple but powerful if you allow yourself to fix your eyes on the word of the Lord here this day. Amen. And the title of the message here this day, amen, is A Time to Recognize Jesus Through People. Or if I want to break that down a little bit further, A Time to Recognize Jesus Through Your Life and My Life. Amen. Let's go to the book of Proverbs. Amen. Chapter 14, verse 4. If you don't have your Bible, every scripture given here today will be on the screens. Amen. I challenge you, if you're new, to come with a notebook, to come with a pen or your iPad or whatever. You have to take notes, to take notes that you can take home and study further for yourself or to give to somebody else. Amen. Proverbs 14:4, as we all listen here this morning, it's kind of a proverb that don't make sense, but by the end of the message, it's going to make plenty of sense. Amen? The Bible reads, without oxen, reading out of the NLT translation, without oxen, a stable stays clean. But you need a strong ox for a large harvest. Let's pray. Father, we thank you. We love you. Give you all the glory, all the honor. I ask that you place me to the side here this day, Lord, and that you speak to your sons and daughters. In your precious name we pray, and we all say in one accord, amen. I'm going to read this verse here in Proverbs 14:4 one more time. Without oxen, a stable stays clean. It gives two perspectives here, amen? That's the first one. The second one is, but you need a strong ox for a large harvest. here within this proverb, it speaks on having an ox and not having an ox. Amen? It gives like a two-sided coin, going without an ox. The Bible says that the stable stays clean. That the stable stays clean if you do not have an ox. How many like a clean house? Amen? How many need to clean their house when you get home from church today? But you need a strong ox for a large harvest. Having a clean stable is the easy way to do it. Amen? It's the easy way to do it. Going without an ox is the easy way to go about it, because the stable stays clean. You don't have to clean it. But it goes on to say, if you want a harvest, you need an ox. If you want a harvest, you need an ox. When I think of an ox in those days, I put here in my notes, they were used to till the ground in order to plant seed. When I also think of an ox, I think of work. The ox in those days were meant to work, amen, to pull a heavy load, amen, in order for seed to be planted and in order for there to be a harvest. There needed to be an ox. And when I think of ox, I also have to think of poop. P-O-O-P, poop. Amen? If you want to be biblical, Paul calls it dung. D-U-N-G. Amen? So whether you want to look at it as dung or poop, it's all the same. Amen? Some of you have a couple more words that you probably could call poop or dung. Amen? And that's what we're going to talk about here this Sunday morning. I have a point here. I gave this to my family first. We're trying to start a business, amen, that deals with poop. The easiest thing is to have a clean stable. Don't own an ox. You don't have to feed an ox, and there's no poop to clean up. But without an ox, you can't expect a harvest. You want a clean stable, that's good. But don't expect a harvest. So my theologian point is, poop precedes harvest. Poop precedes harvest, or for everybody to understand, poop brings a harvest. Amen? Stay with me. This message is of the Lord. Amen? Question. Is your stable clean, or does it have poop? I could ask that question, do you not have an ox, or do you have an ox? The problem of the church today is that too many brothers and sisters' stable is clean. See, a clean stable not only represents no poop, no ox, but it also represents I don't have to work. The problem of the church today is that too many brothers and sisters' stable is clean. And therefore, there is no harvest. Tell your neighbor, how bad do you want a harvest? Facebook, how bad do you want a harvest? You're going to have to deal with some poop. You're going to have to deal with some poop. Or you're going to, for those that are pastors using the word poop, I'm going to use the word dung from here on out. Paul, the great apostle Paul, used the word dung. Amen. He considered all the world and everything he learned as dung to what the Lord had to offer. Whatever you desire in life is going to take one, work, and two, working with people. You're going to have to put up with dung. Amen? There's no way around it. In Galatians 6, chapter 9, verse 9 through 10, very familiar scripture, the Bible reads, "So let's not get tired of doing what is good. At just the right time, we will." Tell your neighbor, it's not in question if we will. The Bible says, "We will." Tell your neighbor, "We will." Sonia DeMarco says, "Tithing works, you will be blessed." The Bible says, "At just the right time, we will reap a harvest of blessing if we don't give up." Therefore, we conclude here in verse 10, the Bible says, whenever we have the opportunity, we should do good to everyone, especially to those in the family of faith. I mean, I know that sometimes the church can fight with one another. Brothers and sisters can talk some dung, can talk some poop. At times when you get mad at a brother or a sister, don't look at me like you guys are all innocent. Camera, move. Some of you are looking at, man, I can't believe pastor's using that in the house of God. It's biblical. I already said it over and over. Some of you are acting like, something's happening when it's touching your ears. Like you've never heard poop talk before, or you've never talked poop talk before. If you need the Webster breakdown for poop, I can ask Pastor Felipe to bring it up, to go to his fancy little computer there and give us the Webster definition to what poop is. In verse 9 here of Galatians chapter 6, it's Paul speaking once again, the one that used the word dung, amen, in comparison to what the world had to offer, in comparison to what the Lord had to offer. There was no comparison. Here, Paul writing in verse 9 says to the people of the day and to the people of today. And he says, so let's not get tired of doing what is good. At just the right time, we will reap a harvest, a blessing, if we don't give up. Why would Paul say, let's not get tired of doing good? Because when we were in the world, we never got tired of doing bad. But now Paul got to instruct the church of not getting tired for doing good. Why would he say, let's not get tired of doing good? Why would he say, at the right time, we will reap a harvest of blessings if we do not give up? Why would we speak about not getting tired for doing good? Why would he speak of the right time, of the for sure blessing upon your life and my life? Why would he speak about, if the blessings are sure and that we will reap a harvest, why would he speak about not giving up? Why? Question. What did Paul see at times within his own life and the life of others as God was leading his life there in the building and the raising up of different churches? Why would Paul speak this to the church there? I believe he felt these same vibes within his life. That there was times that he would think negative, even though he knew God was good, even though he knew God transformed them from Saul to become Paul, the great apostle. Why would he speak about giving up if God was so good? What did Paul see at times within his own life and the life of others as well? He would say that of what was good, but they could not get so tired. What he was doing was good, but he knew from his personal experiences, he knew what it was to get tired for doing what is good. He also knew the promises of God were true and that he would bless at the right time, not the wrong time. But he also has seen many give up under the blessings of God, under the goodness of God, give up while they were doing good. Why would Paul speak this? Knowing that people could get so tired. How many have gotten so tired before to the point where you say, I give up. This ain't worth it. I, as Paul, have seen many do it under the blessings of God. I've seen many give up. How many know somebody that's given up on, not the old lady or their girlfriend or boyfriend or the job or the boss, but on God that will bless? They were doing good in ministry. Poop was all over the place. Things were happening. Then they give up and go back to a clean stable where no work is needed of their lives no more in the building of the temple of God and the salvation of others that are dying, that are some are your very own brothers and sisters, mother and father. Why would Paul speak to these things? Because he had seen people to the point of losing out, of reaping the harvest within their lives that God had for them. I still am turned within my spirit, within my faith. I'm still assured by God that God's going to blow this church up. Is he going to blow it up through me? No, he's going to blow it up through you. Because some of you all are ready to answer the call. Brand new things are going to start taking place in your life. The blessings of God are going to come down upon your life at the right time. You're going to have your hand to the plow. The ox is going to be in the front of you. And there's going to be poop all over the place as God has called it to be. I feel it. I feel the right time is here and it's now for you to reap the harvest that God has for your life. Not what your boss has for your life, but what God has for your life. It's good to work. We all got to work. I mean, the proverb speaks about having an ox or not having an ox, having a job or not having a job, working or not working. For those that say, I can't get a job, that's the biggest excuse I've ever heard. Why would Paul speak of giving up, which represents losing out on the blessings, the harvest that God has for your life, for your marriage, for your children, for your ministry? Why would Paul speak on this? So I need to know, we need to know, what is it that gets people so tired when they're serving the Lord? Paul says, let us not get tired for doing good. He assures the harvest. If we don't give up, he assures the harvest. He assures that, in other words, that the right time is going to come upon your life to be blessed of God. What hinders, and why does a man or a woman give up on God? Why would one want to cancel the blessings, the harvest that is from God upon your life? What was it that Paul saw that he knew was the answer to why people would get tired for doing good, the right thing, and lose out on their blessings? What was it that would allow men and women to go back to a clean stable, to live a normal life, to just take care of yourself and not consider the lost and bound that are dying right now all around the world? What allows a man or a woman or a youth to give up? I could see if you give up because you were doing bad in the church, but to give up while doing good, to give up while the right time for the blessings of God to come upon your life was right around the corner. Why would a man give up? Why would a woman give up on God? And the answer is found in verse 10. This is why people gave up back then. And this is why people give up today on God. Verse 10 reads, therefore, whenever we have the opportunity, we should do good. Here's that do good part. Do good to who? The ox? Whenever we have the opportunity, we should do good to everyone. Ouch, Facebook. Ouch to you and you and you and you and you and you and you. Whenever we have the opportunity, we should do good to everyone. Then it goes on to say, especially to those in the family of faith. I can see getting fights, getting mad at people that are in the world, that is your brother or sister or cousin or whatever you're trying to work with, and they're rough. But it goes on to say, this is Paul speaking, there's so much opportunity for us here this day to get along with one another. But at times, if we're not careful and grateful, we can use the opportunity to fight instead of be good to one another. What was Paul speaking about that was counseling the blessings of God in verse 9? It's found in verse 10, And what Paul was speaking about was working with people. How many have ever got mad at somebody? How many have ever really got mad at somebody? How many have ever really got mad at somebody where you gave them one? How many of you have ever got mad at somebody where you now think you're a UFC fighter and you clean up? Because you got tired of doing good. Or you're trying to show somebody else how to do good by giving them a UFC beatdown. Verse 9 says, at just the right time. See, it's got to be a right time for God to bless a man, to bless a woman, a youth member, somebody in position. I got a thought, and I said, man, I'm going to call Sonia and Marcos to come up here. They were in the church. Things took place. They left the church, but they're back. They're back. Let's give the Lord a good clap offering. They're back and they're talking about the blessings of God. I'm going to ask Marco, as Jesus asked Peter, do you love me? I'm going to ask Marco, do you love me? He's going to say, of course I do, Pastor. Give me your tie. I want your tie. You can give it to me after service, right? At just the right time, the Bible says we might reap our, no, it says we will reap a harvest of blessing. But the time's got to be right. And I believe the atmosphere is good here this morning. I believe the atmosphere is good in your living room this morning, amen? Because God is speaking. It's one thing to work with people at the right time when everything is going good. We call that the right time, good times. It's one thing to work with people at the right time when everything is going good. But your right time may not be God's right time. So you can feel that you're in the right time and working with people that are treating you fair and nice. But it's not God's right time. You see, God's right time is the one that brings the blessings, the harvest. It's not what we see as the right time. But as the Lord sees it. It's one thing to work with people at the right time when everything is going good, but can you work with people when everything is going wrong? Can you work with people? See, troubled people will bring forth a lot of opportunities for you to get a word in of Jesus in their life. I put here in my notes, I believe that the right time of blessings is right now in these hard times. Not good times, but in these hard times, in this end time that we're living in right now, I believe it's God's right time to bless your life, not just a little bit, but with a harvest of blessings upon your life, for He can be recognized through your life, through the blessings upon your life. The harvest that you have reaped by working with others is the way it's going to come. Working with others in hard times, end times. I put here, hard times bring opportunity. My hard times of being lost and bound in the world, coming out of prison for the second time, brought forth an opportunity that was so great that salvation came through the opportunity that was given to me at the worst time in my life. It was the right time of Jesus to come upon my life and to save my life because He had a plan for my life. He had a plan for my life. I was in the last row with a pack of smoke saying, what the heck am I doing here? Just got out of prison the day before. But God says, you're at the right place at the right time, and I'm going to hook you up, even though you don't deserve it. I'm going to bless you with the harvest, and one day you will see, one day my word for you will come to pass, and you're going to bear much fruit, a harvest of 30, 60, and a 100-fold. And that, my friend, is why each and every one of you all are here today, because God's timing is not our timing. I believe it's the right time in the hard times that we're in right now that God's looking for a man to bless. God's looking for a woman to bless, to put some poop in the stable. I kept it clean on the title. I was going to put another title. I said, nah, Lord, that might be the flesh. It was a good one. If you want to know what it was, $20 and you'll have it after the service. Just get behind Marco after he gives me his tie, and then I had a good title, but it was like for the rehab or something. Amen. It was one of them sticking titles. Literally. Hard times bring opportunity. People bring opportunity. What do the hard times come through? The hard times come through people. And we can't forget that one time we were in hard times, they didn't know up from down, and somebody worked with us. Opportunity comes through the hard time in people's life. People bring opportunity to your blessings. And Paul says, don't give up. There's a blessing, there's a harvest with your name all over it. And in verse 10, he gives us the revelation that your blessing, your harvest is going to come through broken people. My life has been blessed beyond measure because of people, troubled people, hardcore people. God has blessed my life. But there's poop all over the place, under my shoes, everywhere. I think Sonia was singing, everywhere I go, the Lord is blessing me. Everywhere I go, I'm stepping into poop. You know that person that you don't want to work with? Is your right now blessing? I asked you in the beginning, how bad do you want the harvest, the blessing upon your life? You're going to have to deal with the ox and what an ox does. It don't only work. An ox poops. I'd rather clean a stable that is blessed of God than have a clean stable that is not blessed of God. Too many looking for the clean stable, the easy way out, the least resistant way of commitment. After all God did for you, you're looking for the easy way out? You want to pick what ministry you want to be in? You want to pick who you hang out with? You still want to call the shots like you were in the world? I believe God would say, what's wrong with you? Do you not remember the mire that I pulled you out of, the poop I pulled you out of? Do you not remember? How could you ever forget what I pulled you out of? Hard times bring opportunity. People bring opportunity to your blessings. Again, proceeds harvest of blessings. I have a side note before I came up here. Producing a harvest in hard time allows others to recognize Jesus clearly. It's one thing to be blessed in the good times, but can you be blessed in the hard times? Do you stand out in the hard times, or do you only stand out in the good times? You see, when you're able to stand out in the hard time, up to the knee poop times, it allows others to see Jesus clearly upon your life. We are living in a time of hard times, end times, that's bringing opportunity, bringing the blessing, bringing the harvest for your life and my life, the life of the church, the body of Christ, that he is the head of, that he is in control of, not only the church, but he is also in control of this world we live in. He is also in control of the blessings for your life and my life. Your boss can do it. Poop proceeds harvest of blessings. I believe these hard times, end times, is the right time for your blessing. Yep. This is a Victor Outreach message, amen? Did everybody understand the poop message today? Amen, amen. Hallelujah. Just checking. We had no problem going under poop in the world. But now we're trying to stay squeaky clean, keep the stable clean. How quick you forgot. One quick story. One day I was running from the cops. I was going with months without taking a shower. I was down in dirty, funky town. In California, they got where you can crawl under the house, amen, or crawl spots, whatever they're called. I was in there. The dogs were after me. They put the dogs. Who cut the dogs loose? The cops did. They cut the dogs loose on me. Pretty much every time when they cut the dogs loose, you're busted, amen? I don't care what tree you're up, what tree you're behind, or where you're at, the dog gonna find you. But I was so deep in poop, amen? Asked me, Pastor, how deep in poop were you? Good thing you asked, I'm gonna tell you, amen? I was so deep in poop, I have no shame in my game right now because I'm no longer deep in poop, amen? It's a spiritual poop I'm in now, amen? That I ran under a crawl area of a house, and I went to the far corner of the house, and I started to control my breathing because I could hear the bloodhounds coming around the corner with the cops going by every house saying, come out of there, I know you're in there. And finally, they came to the crawl area of the house I was under. And these big old German shepherds, they're doing all this stuff. And I'm looking at these dogs face to face, amen? I smelled so bad, ask me how bad I smelled. The dog said, I ain't biting on this guy. I'm gonna act like I didn't see him. That's how funky and knee deep in poop I was when Jesus saved me. Not even the dogs wanted anything to do with me. But one day, Jesus saw me in the back row of the church, and it was the right time. It was the right moment for Jesus wanted my life. The dog wanted nothing to do with me. It thought it might catch something if it bit me, amen? But Jesus said, I can use that guy. I can use him. I can use him. I can use her. I can use her. I can use him. When I call, he's going to respond. When I call her, she's going to respond. There's a been there, done that people. If they could do that for the literal poop of the world, why can't they do it for me to get blessed, hooked up, and receive the harvest of their lives as we stand here this day? That day I got away. The dog says, nope, he ain't in there. They went playing it off in some other houses. The dogs were looking at me. But as they were looking, they were also smelling me. They said, Watcho, I'm out of here. This is our time, church. This is our time to get past our differences, to work with people, because Paul says we will reap that harvest. But the harvest comes, yes, it's from God, but it comes through people. It comes through people. I think this night we just got to go freak somebody out today and go visit somebody that you're really mad at. And just go tell them Jesus loves you, where they, you leave them stuck. Just like, she was just yelling at me this morning on the way to church. He was just yelling at me. And just leave them stuck. What happened to her? What happened to him? Went to church this morning, heard a poop message. A poop message of revelation. There's people right now that are dying and can't see Jesus in our lives because we can't get along with people to get the blessings of God so that when we speak to them, they can recognize Jesus in our lives. See, without the blessings, without the bearing of the fruit, it's hard to recognize Jesus in one's life. The proof is in the pudding. It's in the blessings. And Jesus is about to bless some men and women in this church where you're not even going to know how to act. He's going to hook you up that good and that tough. Now, I know we're in a virus time. I even whispered to Pastor Felipe's ear before I came up here. I just feel that something's going to happen today, right? I got a poop message. I'm just feeling it right now. I was feeling it before I came up here, amen? And I says, amen, I might do an altar call. And that's what I'm going to do. I need the worship team. My wife's looking at me like, you're not supposed to do an altar call. I know that. So if you don't feel safe coming up here, amen, don't, because God will touch you right there where you're at. Because it's the right time. See, when it's the right time, God can touch you no matter where you're at. No matter where you're at, He can touch you. And I would ask if the ushers were come to the front and maybe give a little social distancing, amen, up here at the altars. Amen. And we're going to have an altar call right now because it's been so many months without an altar call, man. And I know God does something at the altars. In a time that He's looking to be recognized because He has the answer. He holds the blessings. The harvest is in His hands. He is the Lord of the harvest. And here this day, whatever the song is as they sing it, you can make your way to the altar if you choose to. You don't have to if you don't want to. Amen? If you choose to stay there where you're at, I would ask that you would simply just close your eyes. Just close your eyes. I believe it's the right time for your blessing, for your harvest. And it's going to come through people from God. They're in FaceTime. Those that are on Facebook, I would ask that you would make an altar call there in your living room. That you would kneel, that you would bow before the Lord. And that you be that vessel that God can use to work with broken people. He's the way maker. He's the promise keeper. He's the light in the darkness.